On WIPR, we're on the record. I'm Sheila Cass. Good morning. Democratic opponents of the cuts Congress intends to make in SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program for people with low incomes, what used to be called food stamps, say it's the biggest rollback in an anti-hunger program ever. In Maryland, more than one-tenth of the 684,000 people who now get SNAP benefits may lose them, and another one-fifth may see their benefits reduced. In the Free State, the average monthly SNAP benefit is about $180, and 40% of the people getting benefits are children. Congressman and former Baltimore County Executive Johnny Olszewski was on the House floor one evening last week leading speeches against the SNAP cuts, and he joins us to explain his opposition. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
What impact do you think these cuts will have?
This might be the most thoughtless and cruel provision of reconciliation that we're considering, Sheila. This is $300 billion of cuts for SNAP, which will make groceries even more expensive for the 42 million households already struggling to put food on the table every day. It's 20,000 families in my district, as you pointed out. Disproportionately, we're talking about children, but 80% is either a child, a senior, a disabled person, or a veteran. And we're not talking about a luxury here. We're talking about $6 a day, the time when cost of living is top of mind for not just members of Congress, but for this president and this administration who promised to lower costs on day one. So really concerned about what Republicans in Congress are seeking to do here, particularly with the SNAP program.
As you know, the GOP argument on SNAP is similar to Medicaid, that too many people are getting benefits who don't deserve them, and that people who can work should work. The Republican bill takes aim at the current exemption, for example. A parent on SNAP raising a child up to age 18 is not required to hold a job or do volunteer work. H.R. 1 would drop that to age 6. You spoke against this on the House floor last week.
Absolutely. Let's think about that. We're now forcing a single parent with a 7-year-old to go to work and likely leave their child at home. In many states across this country, that actually literally classifies as child neglect. And so I welcome conversations around finding efficiencies, rooting out fraud. It's something I did as Baltimore County executive. We found tens of millions of dollars without cutting services and hurting people. And I think the irony in all this, Sheila, too, is that we're not talking about making cuts to balance the budget. This is a bill that actually increases the deficit by almost $3 trillion. It's not better serving our veterans. It's not improving the condition of our country. This is all in service to funding tax breaks for the absolute wealthiest of our country, the billionaires and the big corporations. And so, again, that's why I call this particularly cruel. We're taking away those $6 a day in benefits from hungry kids and programs like the free meals that I helped implement in Baltimore County to give away and line the give away money and line the pockets of the ultra wealthy in this country.
Well, let me press the point, because Republicans contend there is so much waste and fraud in SNAP because up to now, the states have not had to pay the benefits. The federal government covered all the benefits. So what do you say to the argument that states should have some skin in the game?
Well, states do have skin in the game, as do locals. And we actually braided a lot of state funding in Baltimore County and SNAP funding. And we put up local dollars, millions and millions of dollars, to partner with our school system to make sure that every kid in Baltimore County, regardless of income level, can now receive a free breakfast or lunch. No stigma, no stringent rules. We just feed hungry kids. We extended that to summer SNAP. Behaviors improved. Test scores went up. And we know that with these cuts, without a doubt, there is not enough fraud or waste or abuse to cover the amount of cuts that we're talking about here. We will see kids lose school meals. We will see programs like Summer SNAP ended in Baltimore County and across this country. And we will see less investment in farmers like those I now represent in Carroll County. I am fully supportive of any effort to make programs efficient. People who don't have eligibility for benefits should not receive them. And every bipartisan, nonpartisan analysis of this piece of legislation has made it clear that there's no way this level of cuts, both here in SNAP, but in other places like healthcare, can be executed without taking people who are truly eligible and worthy of these investments off the rolls.
That's Baltimore Congressman Johnny Olszewski, a Democrat on the record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about changes Congress is likely to make in SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, formerly called food stamps, and how that would affect Maryland. You mentioned farmers. What impact do you see on farmers?
Well, we're already seeing impacts in farmers across the country from the reductions of programs like USAID. I mean, these are our farmers across America who are providing these food services. And in many cases, we have programs where school systems partner with local farmers to provide fresh local food. And so as we're taking away food supports and as we're offering fewer meals in our classrooms, again, farmers like those that I represent in Northern Baltimore County and Carroll County, we'll see contracts ended. Just to the point of school meals, the Urban Institute says that as many as 18.3 million children are going to lose access to free meals under the cuts being considered by this reconciliation package being pushed by President Trump and GOP members of Congress. We talk to our food banks, they're going to be overwhelmed. Children will go hungry. And again, our farmers who provide this service and provide these meals will be left without the supports they've been accustomed to under these programs as well.
Is there anything you like in H.R. 1, what President Trump calls his big, beautiful bill?
I actually do like provisions of the bill. I support, for example, no tax on tips. I support having provisions that take away the tax burden on Social Security. What I can't fathom, though, is why we're tying those common sense measures, the no taxes on tips, for example, passed the Senate with unanimous consent. There was unanimous support for that. I think if we were to take some of these individual provisions, like tax relief for middle income and lower income families who actually will either see very little relief or will see their taxes go up if you're on the lower end of the economic spectrum, if we were to focus on hardworking Americans in Maryland and across this country, I think you would see overwhelming support for reconciliation. But instead, we have a reconciliation package that lines the pockets of the rich, does little to nothing to middle and low-income families, guts funding for food supports, ends healthcare for tens of millions of Americans by gutting Medicaid, and then does other things like takes away taxation on tanning beds and takes away a fee on silencers that have been in place for decades. Things that really have nothing to do with the budget and balancing the budget. And, you know, in service of all this and making billionaires even more wealthy, we are growing our deficit by trillions of dollars. So I think there's a way that we could have had a package that Democrats supported. It's been my biggest frustration, candidly, since being a member of Congress, is that I'm here to work together. I've passed bipartisan legislation twice already in my first 5 months. And I just wish that in these really big, important conversations that this majority welcomed that input and wanted to work in good faith. But it seems that instead it's more worshiping at the altar of Trump as opposed to actually wanting to get things done to lower costs for hardworking Americans.
Well, I mentioned that you led other Democrats speaking against the SNAP cuts after hours in the House last week. And that's kind of really all Democrats can do, make speeches. You can't stop this bill.
Well, we did a good job. This was a bill that passed by one vote. And so every Republican member has to go back now and say to their constituents, I was the reason this bill passed. And so I was proud to lead that special order hour in the House. I'm using my voice in the Congress, putting in legislation to protect federal employees, to lower costs for hardworking Americans and try to find those common sense measures. We're pushing back in the courts where we've filed amicus briefs and we've won hundreds of court cases that the courts have found unconstitutional. And we're pushing back in the community. We're using our opportunity to lift up the voices of the people we represent. But, you know, the good news on this reconciliation package is it still has to pass the Senate. We have to keep beating the drum. I would encourage residents to keep calling members of Congress. And I think that as we are exposing what's happening, I mean, let's be clear. The Republicans tried twice to push this through in the middle of the night, first through rules and then on the floor of the House. You don't try to do that if you're proud of what you're pushing through.
There is a bill you've been able to get passed in the House on a bipartisan basis. What would your port security bill do?
This was my first bill that crossed the finish line in the House. And it, again, proves that Democrats and Republicans can work together to address real problems. It's not a messaging bill. It takes on a real life threat. We know that China and its government is trying to expand its influence across this globe. They are trying to really get into ports for both economic and intelligence purposes. So they are aggressively building, buying, and outright owning port infrastructure, especially here in America. What really alarmed me is a good example of why I wanted to put this bill in. The largest port crane manufacturer in the world is Chinese state-owned. And when the Port of Baltimore bought our new cranes, the FBI found intelligence gathering equipment, let's call it for what it is, spyware, on a ship delivering one of these cranes. And so we know these ports are economic lifelines. And so we have legislation that will really require the federal government to take a deeper dive into the security implications and help find, frankly, better alternatives to investments than the Chinese government.
How does it affect the Port of Baltimore?
This legislation will help ports across this country, including the Port of Baltimore, find better alternatives to Chinese investment. And so with the situation around the cranes, perhaps we can find a different manufacturer that's not putting spyware on cranes and equipment that's coming to our port here in the Port of Baltimore.
Thanks for talking to us.
Thanks for having me.
Democratic Congressman Johnny Osefski, former Baltimore County executive. We have a link to a fact sheet about SNAP from the Maryland Department of Human Services and to coverage of the Strategic Ports Reporting Act at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. Short break on the record. When we're back, the Maryland Food Bank through a banker's eyes. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us.